This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bears, 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 Bears. Football, football, football.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. Lawrence Holmes in for Mully today. And we are pleased to bring in Mark Brody, who joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram hotline, home of the real deal. Grody, good morning.
Good morning, David and Lawrence. Great to hear your voice bright and early in the morning. It's always good when you get to your own show 5.5 hours early. Good for you, Lawrence.
Yep, that is the goal of the day, just to hang out and actually have someone to talk to, which is nice.
Mark, so your off season's over, Mark. I don't know if you know that or not, but Sunday you're going to be in Decatur, right? On the way.
I'm staring it down, man.
Bears. And so when you get to Decatur and you are part of this Bears 100 celebration, they are meeting the people of Decatur where it all started 100 years ago. And Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace are expected to address the media in the annual kind of welcome back to the season press conferences. What tone do you expect to hear? What do you expect them to say?
Well, It's been, obviously, this offseason, for the most part, a lot of positivity, except for the kicker situation. That will continue to be a storyline, probably in Decatur, and then throughout the Bourbonnais portion of the year until that situation is settled. I think that, for the most part, the tone is going to be, though, positive. And how do you get better? How do you add on from what was a terrific regular season with the 12 wins? How do you maintain that? How do you get to the next level? And I guess a lot of that is going to depend on the questions which will surround Mitchell Trubisky and his ability to get to another level that is not just somewhere in the middle.
Groats, all throughout the spring, we've had this kicker competition thing, and it's been a fun and funny story to most of us locally. Nationally, there are a lot of people who kind of look at it and go, what is Matt Nagy doing? He needs to move on from it. How much do you expect them to talk as openly about it as they've done in the spring once they get to Bourbonnais?
I think they will continue to do that. I think it would go against Matt Nagy's nature to not do that. And, you know, he has been the one that has encouraged us, in essence, in the offseason, as you alluded to continue to ask about it and not worry about it being some sort of taboo subject. Like, he basically told us during the, guys, it's okay if you ask about this. You don't have to, you know, qualify your questions or ask like some dirty question. So I think that they're going to continue to make, obviously they're not going to make the spectacle that it was during the OTAs and have it be, you know, seven kickers on another field. Or at least I hope that's not going to be the case, but it's still going to be a big deal. Nobody wants this to have to be a big deal. I think it stinks on all levels. Like, media doesn't want it to have to be a big story. Trust me when I say Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy don't want it to have to be a big story. The other players on the Bears don't want this to have to be a big story. Unfortunately, it is, and it's something that I think that they are going to they will act accordingly throughout the preseason and Bourbonnais to make sure they get this right, because obviously they have to get this right. If they don't, then there's going to be, you know, real problems for a team that is hyper-talented.
And it's very difficult to unring a bell. And when they invited this back in, you know, during mini camps and in the off season, it was funny because it was during mini camps and in the off season. And now that it's getting nearer, and I think there was an expectation, Mark, and I can't speak for them, but I can just surmise. I think there was an expectation that they would get this solved, that they would have an answer right now that's more readily available than it is when you have Eddie Pinheiro and Elliott Fry as the two remaining kickers who are competing for one spot. My contention is that kicker who's going to be the guy they rely upon is not on the roster right now. And I don't know that the Bears want to accept that, but I do think that the smiles that were there during the kicking conversation from Matt Nagy in the spring are going to be harder to come by in the heat of August when things start to heat up a little bit and get closer to opening night. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know. It's not going to be that fun to interview Matt Nagy or to hear him answer questions about the kicker after the first preseason game if he misses three kicks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, it definitely will not. It will lose its charm for sure if there is indeed any charm that exists with it. And I think I agree with you that it's probably not going to be Eddie Pinheiro. Like, if I just had to guess, and I don't have any information outside of those two guys, Elliott Fry and Eddie Pinheiro, that you mentioned, it would just be hard for me to believe that based on what happened last year, based on the talent that still exists on this team, that they would go into this season having a kick, and one of those two guys or both of those guys might end up having great careers in the NFL. I don't know. I don't know how good a kickers Elliott Fry and Eddie Pinheiro are, but it'd be hard for me to believe that they would want to go into a season without a kicker that has NFL experience. And yes, Pinheiro kicked in a preseason game in which he was 3 for 3, so for whatever that's worth. And, you know, Fry has quote-unquote pro experience having played at the AAF. These might be both brilliant kickers, okay, but it's like to not have any real in-game NFL experience would be a dangerous trick to turn off or to pull off going into the season.
When we last saw Matt Nagy after a Bears practice, what were the things that he wanted to see Mitchell Trubisky improve on coming into training camp and into this next season?
Lawrence, I think the biggest thing that he wants to see is to see his quarterback step up to the line of scrimmage and be able to dissect the defense and make the potential necessary changes or potential reads that come with this offense, to have a little bit more autonomy over what's going on. And then when the ball is snapped, to recognize the open man, whether that is intermediate or down the field, to recognize what the defense is doing to enable Mitchell Trubisky to find the exact right open guy. He had a good year last year as far as completion percentage is concerned. Mm-hmm. I mean, 66%, really good. But he wasn't always finding the right guy that was open. I mean, we zeroed in on some of those cases last year where maybe he left something on the table. I think that just to put it really, you know, short, to capsulize it for you in a neat package, he wants Mitchell Trubisky to find the right open guy down the field this season.
So, Mark, last week I'm sure you enjoyed as much as I did listening back on the podcast. I was out of town, but I caught up. Lawrence had several days of asking the same question to different people. Is Mitch good? And you know what? I think on the surface, you do sort of chuckle, like, okay. But it's a fair question, and it's the question of this season. So you've been around him now. You were there last season. You saw the evolution of a young quarterback in his first year in a scheme that really accentuated the quarterback position and schemed a lot of guys open. But heading into year three of his NFL career, heading into a season where he needs to take that next step if the Bears are going to get where they want to go, is Mitch good?
Mitch is good. Yeah, absolutely. I'd say that without hesitation. Mitch is not great yet. Mitch is not elite yet. And I think that that's the next step. And I think that's the step that, honestly, Trubisky expects himself to get to. And I think that that's the expectation of the organization. I think that, you know, Ryan Pace didn't move up into the second round to get a guy that was just okay or good or top 15 or a manager or the guy that doesn't lose. He drafted this guy to be your franchise quarterback and win games for you. So I'm looking forward to seeing him potentially take that next step. I mean, he is so earnest in his desire. I mean, he is all about football. They've had to pull him back sometimes just because he's too into it. Like, you know, basically they've said, you know, have a life besides football, which is a good thing for the most part. So I think that the expectation is not just from all of us and everybody listening and Bears fans, the expectation from within Hallis Hall and from inside Mitchell Trubisky's head is to be great. So trust me when I say it's not just the fans that want him to be elite, it's Trubisky that wants him to be there too. So yes, he's good. He's just got to get to that great and elite level.
When you have a defense that's played as well as that Bears defense played last year, adding in a new coordinator can be difficult. What do we know about Chuck Pagano, and what have those guys said about what they expect from him as the season gets closer?
I'll tell you this. What I did learn about Chuck Pagano, as specifically as it pertains to the players, Lawrence, is that one thing that they finally said about him that was different from his predecessor, Vic Fangio, was that he communicates differently, as in he communicates more, as he talks more. You know, Vic Fangio, and they love Vic Fangio. It wasn't like a rip on Fangio by any means. You know, Fangio was the stoic sort of guy, walked around with his hands folded and his gray sweats and his hats. He was just sort of the quiet captain. And, you know, he was a brilliant defensive mind, no doubt about it. But Chuck Pagano wears his heart on his sleeve a little bit more, communicates a little bit more with these guys. The biggest thing about Chuck Pagano, guys, is that he's not stupid. And when I say that, what I mean is that he knows how good this defense was last year. He knows how talented these individuals are. So he's not going to rip them out of the positions that they were in last year. He's not going to tear it down for the sake of tearing it down. He's not going to be like, oh, this is my defense now. We're going to do things differently. Yeah, things are going to change a little bit. Terminology is going to be a little bit different. There might be a little bit more aggressiveness in certain scenarios, or even the opposite of what Vic Fangio would do in certain scenarios in certain places. So he is his own man, but he totally, totally gets that that this defense did what it did last year. The last thing that I'll say about Chuck Pagano is that I like to say that he's a self-actualized man. Like, he's totally, like, he is thrilled to be the defensive coordinator for the Chicago Bears, and he wants nothing more. He's done everything else. You know what I mean? He's been a coordinator. He's been a position coach. He's been a head coach. And now he is so happy just simply being the defensive coordinator of the Chicago Bears. So there's not going to be that feeling of, is this guy angling for a head coaching job? It doesn't sound like he even wants that at this point, that he wants to be the defensive coordinator for the Bears, period.
Before we let you go, Mark, on Sunday when Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace are asked about the starting offense and the weapons they've surrounded Mitch Trubisky with, Trey Burton, his status will be a source of concern. What is he in terms of health-wise? Where is he before practice? And also, who is the starting running back when the Bears line up for the first time? Is it going to be David Montgomery, the draft pick, or is it going to be Mike Davis, the free agent signing?
Yeah, David, first, Trey Burton, sports hernia. So what they're going to probably say, unless there's new news or new development, is that they are hoping that he's ready to go and do some light working out at Bourbon A. So I'm actually looking forward to getting an update on that, because that's what we heard last time we talked to Matt Nagy, that the hope was, I mean, it certainly didn't give us a definite, but the hope was that he'll be ready to go, you know, right away in Bourbon A or at some point in Bourbon A. So yeah, that's going to be a big deal to follow Trey Burton's development and to get him back out there and hopefully have another big season. As far as the running back situation is concerned, yeah, I would say that it's definitely the best opportunity is going to go to David Montgomery to get. I mean, he's that hybrid type of guy that they drafted and that they want to be their starting quarterback. Definitely don't sleep on Mike Davis. You know, he's an interesting guy. When I talked to him in the OTAs, you know, I asked him the old, you know, do you have a chip on your shoulder because you're kind of the forgotten man, it feels like, you know, in your career? And he says, absolutely. He told me that he's irritated by the fact that he's always been sort of a, you know, passed on to the next guy. So, you know, he's a versatile guy too. Seattle loved to use him as a receiver. And then, you know, Tariq Cohen's going to be Tariq Cohen, a lineup all over the place. But to answer the question very simply, I think it should be, and almost has to be, David Montgomery.
Good stuff, Mark. Have a safe trip to Decatur.
Great to talk to you guys. Talk to you soon.
Mark Grody covers the Bears. For our sister station WBBM, and of course for us on The Score on a daily basis.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.